I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I encourage you to follow in the Bibles that are there on the pews if you don't have your own Bible. And it always helps if you look at the Word of God when someone else is reading to be able to take it in both by the eye as well as the ear to read and hear the Word of God. I would ask all of you to pray that God will help us as we try to study His holy word. Before we begin to read and study, I would like to ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful again, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come before Thy throne of grace, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we know that we need Thee every moment of our lives. We know that we cannot draw the next breath without Thy blessings upon us. We know, Lord, that Thou art the giver of life and the sustainer of life. And we ask You to help us and bless us as we begin to read and study Thy holy word, that Thy Spirit would be our teacher, that Thou would help us to hear the word of God, and that we would rejoice in it, and that we would be doers of Thy word and not hearers only. We thank You again, Lord, for this special occasion tonight as we come together to worship Thee and to experience the water baptism of Brother Brooks. We thank You for Brother Brooks' life. We thank You for his love for You and Your love for him. Thank You for his family and for the love that they manifest to him by being here tonight. And we pray that You would bless all the members of his family. Pray that You would bless each of them and guide them all and direct them in every needed way. Lord, we pray again now that You would bless all those who are sick and afflicted, that Thou would touch those that are cast down and discouraged in body, soul, and spirit. You would lift them up and restore them to their health if it could be in keeping with Thy holy will. And again now, we pray that You would bless our nation, that You would have mercy on us. You would bless us as a nation and bless Your people in our nation, that we might all repent and turn back to following Thee more closely, that we would be more committed and more dedicated in our service to Thee. Bless us all, Lord. You know the needs of every person here tonight. And we ask You to bless each of us, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace, because we know that we're not worthy of even the least of Thy mercy. So help us all, Lord, and help us to know that heaven is real, and one day we're going to be carried to that home eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, where there will be no more sorrow, sickness, no more pain, and no more death. But we're thankful that while we live here, that we can experience the fellowship and joy, the peace, as Brother Terry said, the peace of mind that we can have when we're dwelling in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help us, Lord, to live in such a way that we can dwell in Thy kingdom here every day. Bless us now as we study Thy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. Word of God says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of disease among the people. If correctly read, that's Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 23. The main thought that's on my heart tonight is again what we began studying this morning, where Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, the call to follow Jesus Christ, this is where Jesus was calling 4 out of 12 of his apostles. We need to understand there are two main callings taught in the Word of God. The Word of God, first of all, talks about how We are called from death unto life. That is, we're born again. And that call is an irresistible call. It's also something we call the effectual call. When God comes to His people and quickens them, they're born of the Spirit of God, and they're called from death unto life. And in that calling, we don't make a decision about being born again. We did not decide to be born again any more than we decided to be born the first time. So God calls His people from death unto life. They're born again, and that's something we have no decision in making, to be born of the Spirit of God. But then after God's people have been born again, God then comes and He calls them to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And there are far more children of God than there are disciples of Christ. And even though I don't decide to be born again as a child of God, I do have decisions to make about whether or not I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. There are many children of God that have been called to be a disciple of Christ, but they have not followed that calling to be a disciple. They're not doing what is necessary in order to be a disciple of Christ. Jesus makes this statement that you must bring forth much fruit to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another." So there are many different ways to identify whether someone has responded to the call to be a disciple of Christ. And the call here that we're looking at tonight is where Jesus says, "Follow me." And the question that we're asking is, are we following Jesus Christ? We looked at three particular ways that we can follow Christ this morning. We're not going to go back over all of that, but I want to start with a fourth way that we can follow Jesus Christ. There are a lot of different ways that we follow Christ. Right now, Jesus is calling and saying, "Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I wanted to begin tonight, I want us to begin tonight, by turning to Ephesians chapter 4. And the first way that I want us to look at tonight that we can follow Christ is by forgiving one another. Have you ever needed to forgive someone? Have you ever needed somebody to forgive you? Amen. We all, how many of you have ever needed to be forgiven by God? We all need God to forgive us, and we all need people to forgive us. The only reason that people can continue to be happy together and to love each other is if they're willing to forgive each other. And who has done more forgiving than anyone else? It's God. Jesus Christ has done more forgiving. And you cannot be a disciple of Christ. You can't be a follower of Christ. Jesus says, "Follow me. Follow me. Follow me in this way," is the first thing we're looking at tonight. "Follow me. I forgave you, and now you are to forgive each other." And so that's the way that we want to follow Christ. What we want to look at tonight is follow Christ by forgiving one another. We need to forgive each other in the families, don't we? As parents and children, and as brothers and sisters, and as brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, we have to always be willing to forgive each other. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. The Word of God here talks about forgiving one another. You remember how when Jesus was here on the earth, He taught His disciples repeatedly about forgiving. Do you remember what Peter said to Him on one occasion? "Lord, how often do I have to forgive my brother?" Have you ever felt that way in your life? That you just wondered, well now, just how many times have I got to forgive him? And Peter went on to say, have I got to forgive him seven times? And Jesus says, no, not just seven times, but 70 times seven. That is, there's an innumerable number of times that you need to forgive your brother. How many times do you want God to forgive you? How many times have you gone to God and said, "God, I ask you to forgive me of what I've done"? Do you want God to limit the number of times that He forgives you? Do you want God to put a cutoff line and say, "I'm sorry, I've already forgiven you all, I'm going to forgive you"? Do you want God to do you that way? Well, the same thing is true as far as us forgiving one another, that there's no limit to how much we forgive one another. If I trespass against you, and you come to me and you let me know that I've done something to trespass against you, and I ask you to forgive me, and we try to forgive each other and work together, then we have that obligation. As a Christian, you cannot follow Jesus Christ if you're not willing to forgive. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. The Word of God says in Ephesians 4 verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted." Now look at the next expression there. "Forgiving one another." "Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Has God forgiven you? That's all He's asking here. He's not asking us to do something that God hasn't already done. He says, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, Christ has forgiven you. God has forgiven you. Now you have to be willing to forgive each other. Are there people now that you don't love that you used to love? Can we as humans stop loving people? Do you think we can stop loving people? I think that we can. Now, God doesn't. There's a big difference in us and God. When you think about God's love, God says, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." But my love for you and your love for me is dependent on us continuing to forgive one another and continue loving one another. And Jesus says here, or the Word of God says here, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So are we a follower of Christ? Can you be a follower of Christ if you're not willing to forgive someone? If someone comes to you and says, "I ask you to forgive me," and you say, "I will not forgive you," or here's the devil's way of saying it. The devil's way of saying it is, "I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget it." That's a lie. If you say that you're going to forgive someone, but you'll never forget it, you're lying. And you're not being a disciple of Christ if you're not willing to forgive and forget. So that's the way it is. God says about our sins against Him, He says, "I've removed your sins as far as the east is from the west." And He says, "And I will remember them no more." What a wonderful God we have to be willing to forgive us. Amen. And to forget. And how wonderful it is that by the grace of God, and I'll tell you, brethren, that in my flesh and in your flesh, you cannot forgive each other. In my flesh and in your flesh, you cannot really forgive and forget. But by the grace of God, you know what you can do. By the grace of God, you can follow Christ by forgiving and forgetting. So, forgiving is something that we all need to do, and we cannot be a disciple of Christ if we're not willing to forgive. So I would encourage you, and I would exhort you in the name of Christ, that you be praying harder for God to help you to forgive. We've been trying to pray the example prayer from the book of Luke. The example prayer that Jesus gave us when He says that we're to pray and we're to say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And here's the part that's different in Luke's writing than in Matthew's writing. In Luke's writing, in Luke chapter 11, the Word of God says that Jesus says, "And forgive us our sins," not as we forgive others, "but forgive us our sins, for we forgive those who are indebted to us." Do you forgive others that are indebted to you? Not talking about money debts. I'm talking about people who have mistreated you. Are you willing to forgive them? If you're not willing to forgive, then you cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, another thing that we want to do in order and must do in order to be a follower of Christ, Jesus says, "Follow me." Look at the very next verse after Ephesians 4:32. What's the next verse? Some people are saying, "Well, that's all. That's all there is." No. You go to the next verse, that's chapter 5, verse 1. Sometimes we miss a lot of great blessings in the Word of God by getting to the end of one chapter and we don't realize it just keeps right on going in the next chapter. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. After He says that we're to forgive, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us, in Ephesians 5, 1, He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And then what does He say? And what? "And walk in love." Now, you might say those are inseparable, and in a way they are inseparable, but I want you to understand that the Word of God makes a big difference in forgiving and in loving. And we need to forgive. In order to be a disciple of Christ, we have to forgive. But we also need to be loving. God is love. And anybody that says he loves God but doesn't love his brother, the Bible says he's a liar. I have to love. Am I to love my wife? Husbands, what? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. It's not just because I want to love my wife, and I do love my wife. She's the greatest blessing I have on this earth. I love my wife. But God has commanded me to love her. And God's commanded every man here to love your wife. And God's commanded every woman here to love your husband. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Parents, love your children. And if you go home and read the book of Proverbs, you'll find that if a man says he loves his child, but he doesn't discipline that child, he does not love the child. We're to love. Love and discipline are inseparable. Let me just emphasize that right now. That love and discipline are inseparable. Parents that say, I love my child too much to spank them, do not understand what God's Word says. It's a devil's kind of love that says, I love you, and I'm just going to ignore all that you do wrong. If I love you, I'm going to be concerned about you. If I love you and you do wrong, I'm going to talk to you about what you're doing wrong. And if you love me and I do wrong, you're going to talk to me about what I'm doing wrong. And parents that love their children, when they do wrong, they're going to talk to them and correct them and discipline them. What does the Word of God say about love? God says, let's talk about the love of God. Some people say, well, you don't know about the love of God. I'll tell you about the love of God. God says, as many as I, Jesus, now this is Jesus, okay? Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Is that love and discipline going to get together? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Love and discipline are inseparable. If I love you and you love me, will we forgive one another? If I love you and you love me, will we try to correct one another when one begins to go astray and walk in a way that dishonors God? We will. Did Jesus do that? Every time Jesus came in the presence of sinners, sometimes people say, well, he sat down and he ate with sinners. Yes, he did. But every time Jesus sat down and ate with sinners, he confronted those sinners with the sin that was in their lives. Is talking to people about what they're doing wrong, is that part of being a Christian? Is that part of following Christ? Do you really love somebody if you just ignore them when they are doing something wrong? Do you really love them? I don't believe that you do. I believe it's impossible. I believe it's just impossible for me to love you if I see you doing something wrong. It's just as impossible for me to be loving you as if a parent had a child that's about to go out into the street and get run over and the parent just says, well, I just love them too much. I don't want to upset them, so I'm just going to leave them alone. You and I as the people of God, if we love one another, we're going to be working with each other. We're going to be trying to labor with one another. And that leads me up to the next part. And if you don't listen very carefully, you're going to miss completely and you're going to accuse me of believing something that I don't believe. So I ask you to listen very, very carefully right here. What does Jesus say in the text that we're looking at? Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Now, Jesus, listen carefully, Jesus saved his people from their sins. Okay? The Word of God says about Jesus when the angel spoke to Joseph. The Word of God says that the angel spoke to Joseph and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Did Jesus save his people from their sins? Amen. Yes, he did. He didn't try to save. He didn't offer to save. He didn't save if you'll let him. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus accomplished what he came to do. He saved every one of his people. He saved them from their sins. And that means they will not spend eternity in hell because Jesus has paid for their sins. Now, It's also important for you to understand that every one of those that was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, every one of them is going to be judged by Jesus while they live here in this world. If you're a child of God, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus is going to judge you while you live here. And if you're a child of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're walking contrary to God's Word and God's way, I need to save you. Now listen carefully. This is where I'm saying you can misunderstand what I'm saying. Can I save you from eternal hell when you get on the wrong track? No. But can I, by the grace of God, and can you, by the grace of God, can I save you from the error of your way, and can I save you from a lot of hell here on this earth? Can God? Is there more than one hell taught in the Bible? Well, certainly there is. You remember Jonah? What did Jonah say? Now, Jonah disobeyed God. God told Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh. Jonah did half what God said. He arose and fled to Tarshish. Do you remember what Jonah said? He said, from the belly of hell cried I. Did Jonah die and go to hell? Did he die and go to hell? No, he didn't die and go to hell, but was he in hell? He said he was. Aren't there many children of God today that are living in hell because they walk contrary to God's Word? They're not hearing and obeying God when God says, follow me. It's not optional whether or not you follow Christ. If you follow Christ, you experience great blessings in the kingdom of heaven while you live here in this earth. But if you don't follow Christ, not only do you miss the blessings of the kingdom of heaven, but if you're a child of God, you'll experience a hell while you live here on this earth. Now, can I save you? I'm talking about following Christ. Listen carefully. Talking about following Christ. What did Jesus do? What are the three things we've looked at tonight? What's the first thing we looked at? Jesus forgave, right? And if I'm a follower of Christ, will I be a person that does a lot of forgiving? Second thing we talked about is Jesus loved, didn't he? Jesus loved, and we're to walk in love. If we're a follower of Christ, we're going to be walking in love. And the third thing that we're looking at right now is that Jesus saved. And if I'm a follower of Christ, I'm going to be saving people. I'm not saving anybody from eternal hell to eternal heaven. Jesus did that. But I can save my brothers and sisters in Christ from a lot of hell while they live here in this world. Now let's see, does the Word of God teach that? It doesn't matter what I think or you think. It does matter what the Word of God says. Let's see, can we save people from the error of their way? Go with me in your Bibles, please, to James. Turn to the book of James toward the end of the New Testament. I want you to look at James chapter 5, James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. We're talking about being a follower of Jesus Christ, being a follower of Christ by forgiving, being a follower of Christ by loving, and being a follower of Christ by saving people. Look now at James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 5, verse 19. What's the first word there? James 5, verse 19. I want to reemphasize, I am not talking about saving people that are not under the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about saving God's children who've already been saved from eternal hell. I'm talking about saving God's children from a hell while they live here on this earth. James chapter 5, verse 19, what's the first word there? Brethren. Brethren. Now, who are brethren? That's the children of God, you see. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, can God's children, children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, can they err from the truth? Amen. Can I err from the truth? Amen. Indeed I can, and indeed I do. There's not a man on this earth that doesn't from time to time err from the truth, get on the wrong track, begins to walk the broad way. And brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save, shall what? Shall what? Shall save a what? Save a soul from death. Did you know there's a difference in saving somebody body, soul, and spirit from eternal hell? There's a big difference in that and saving someone's soul from death or saving them from a hell while they live here on this earth. I can't save anybody, body, soul, and spirit from eternal hell. Jesus has already done that.
But if I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm going to be concerned about people and care about people, and I'm going to try to save souls from death. The word death means separation. What is a physical death? Is death the end of life? Now, some people think it is. Is when somebody dies, is that the end of life? No, that's not the end of life. Death is not the end of life. Death is only the separation of life from the body. That's what death always means. It's separation. For example, the Scripture says, for to be carnally minded is death. What does that mean? When I'm carnally minded, I'm separated from what? I'm separated from God. I'm separated from fellowship with God. I lose that intimate fellowship with God. To be carnally minded is death. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. The Scripture says in the book of Proverbs, he that winneth souls is wise. And that word winneth means saveth. He that winneth souls is wise. If you're a follower of Christ, what did Christ do? Did Christ save? And if you're a follower of Christ, will you be saving your brothers and sisters from the error of their way? Yes, you will. Now, I want to go to one other thing, and that is, he says now, follow me. And Brother Brooks, this is right now to you. Brother Brooks is following Christ in a way that I haven't mentioned yet, and that's water baptism. Is that a part of being a disciple of Christ, is to submit to water baptism? Was Jesus Christ baptized while he was here on this earth? And if I'm going to be a disciple of Christ, I also must be baptized. I'm to follow Christ in water baptism. That's what Brother Brooks is doing tonight. We're to follow Christ in water baptism, but after we think about, and we could go on and on preaching about following Christ, but what does he say in Matthew 4, verse 19, after he says, follow me, what does he then say? Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. Fishers of men. What does it mean to be a fisher of men? Well, in order to understand that, let's go to John chapter 1, just a minute. And I encourage you, this will be probably the last scripture that we turn to. But I do want you to notice in John chapter 1, I want you to notice about people following Christ. And as they followed Christ, they became fishers of men. Do you want to be a fisher of men? Do you want people to begin to walk closer to God? Do you want to walk closer to God? In John chapter 1, John the Baptist begins to preach, and as he preaches, some people listen to him preach. And what do you think John the Baptist is out there doing? Let me ask you this question first. Was John the Baptist out there preaching to try to get people out of eternal hell and into eternal heaven? Is that what John the Baptist was doing? Absolutely not. He wasn't saving anybody from eternal hell to eternal heaven. He was saving God's children. That's the reason the Bible says 27 times in the New Testament, the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. If you don't have an ear to hear, you haven't been born again. If you've been born again, you have an ear to hear. Now listen, in John chapter 1, John the Baptist is preaching. I want you to come down to verse 36. John chapter 1, verse 36. The Scripture says, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, this is what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. Who was he talking about when he said, behold, look at the Lamb of God? Who is the Lamb of God? That's Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Now listen to verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak. That's two of John's disciples now that heard him speak. What did they do? Did they follow John or Jesus? When they heard John preach, they followed Jesus. Do you know how many of you are supposed to be following me? It's not follow the preacher. It's not follow your parents. It's follow Jesus. That's the one we're to follow. Now, again, I mentioned this morning, 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, follow me as long as I follow Christ. But the ultimate one that we're to always be following is Jesus Christ. Follow me. And when John finished preaching,
And by the way, he was preaching about the kingdom of heaven. If you back up and read a little earlier, they followed Jesus. Did John, now listen carefully, this is a trick question. I want you to answer it carefully. Did John the Baptist save these two men who started to follow Jesus Christ? Did John the Baptist save them? Okay, somebody was just saying, which save are you talking about? Did John the Baptist save them from eternal hell to eternal heaven? Absolutely not. But did he save these two men from the hell here on this earth to a kingdom of heaven here on this earth? Yes, they did. They followed Jesus. Now, the scripture comes on down for the sake of time. Come down to verse 40. One of the two, this is still talking about those two from verse 36 and 37. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, who was the first one that we're reading about here that followed Jesus and then he became a fisher of men and saved these two and they began to follow Jesus? Who were first looking at that was a fisher of men? John the Baptist. And now, one of those two men that began to follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. What did Andrew do when he began to hear about from another? What did Andrew begin to do after he heard about Jesus? What did he do? He went and told somebody. What was he doing? He was being a what? He was being a fisher of men. And then Andrew, when he told Peter, the Word of God says in verse 43, we read about someone else who began to follow Jesus. In verse 43, the Scripture says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, what did he say to Philip? Follow me. He said to Philip, follow me. And Philip began to follow Christ, and then Philip went to Nathanael. I'm not going to read all of this, but Philip went to Nathanael and told Nathanael, come and see. We have found the Christ. Being a fisher of men, listen carefully in closing, being a fisher of men is not talking about saving people from eternal hell to eternal heaven, but being a fisher of men is trying to work with God's children to bring them into the joys of fellowship with Jesus Christ every day. I pray, Brother Brooks, that as you begin to take up your cross in water baptism, I pray that God will bless you to always follow Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus all the way. Follow Jesus. And He, Jesus, will make you fishers of men. You know Brother Brooks is already a fisher of men, by the way? He's already been a fisher of men. He's already forgiving. He's already loving. He's already doing all the things that I preached about this morning and tonight. But he's already being a fisher of men. And I thank God for your life, and I pray that God will bless you as long as you live, that you'll follow Jesus, and that then Jesus will make you a fisher of men. May God help us all is my prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.